God is good, amen. Oh, it's good to see you this morning. I always get so excited on Baptism Sunday, not just because I get to push people under the water either. Let me tell you a little story about baptism. You know, there's some anticipation with some about being baptized. There's some anxiety, shall we say. And one of our teenage girls, I got this from her mother just the other day. She'll be with us later. She'll be baptized later. She was asking questions of mom and dad. What's it really like to go down there and get in the river and get dunked in the river? And dad said, once Jim get you in the water, then he's going to turn to and read Psalm 119. Now, for those of you that don't know a lot about 119 Psalms, it is 176 verses. So she, not knowing the detail of that chapter, starts paging two Psalms, and she gets to Psalm 119, and she goes page after page after page, and she says to Dad, which verse? And he said, all of them. And in her anxiety and her perhaps panic at this point, she's inquiring further, and Dad simply says to her, Dad, Jim has done this a bunch of times. It probably don't take him that long. So for those of you that have, like my grandson Tom, he slipped away already, but have anxiety, rest assured, will not read Psalm 119 while you're under. It will be a good day, though, because a number of people have decided it's time. It's time to be baptized. A number of people will be baptized because they have recently made commitments to Christ. And so I hope that even though you're here, and Casey has said this, even though you're here in the first service, or perhaps you're watching online, if you would like to join us, we'd love to have you at the river's edge. It's just south of town, immediately across the bridge. Take a left into Kevin and Mullane's and follow the trail down along the river. We'll be baptizing there after lunch. We'd love to have you. And you can celebrate with those 15 or more that will be baptized today. Kevin reminds us when we do come south of town, across the bridge into his place, it's good to be in the left lane because the traffic is going pretty fast there. So as you go by Trident, if you're coming, get in the left lane, cross the bridge, and take an immediate left into the yard and follow the trail down along the river. We will be there after lunch and we'll be baptizing. It's going to be a good day. It really is. Now, if you got your Bibles, I want to set the stage for us a little bit. I will read a little bit of scripture down there from Acts about baptism. That'll be a different account than what I want to read today, but I want to make this connection. I told you this 2 weeks ago. I want to make this connection between repentance and baptism. And so we understand that a little clearer today. I also want to say this. I know I said it last week, but didn't our youth group do a marvelous job last week? I think they should do it again next week. That way I get a break. Anyway, I was just so blessed, and it was so refreshing to have our young people lead us in the entire two services. Thank you to all of you. Mark chapter 1 is where I'm going to start, and I'll end up in Acts. But I want to, as I said, point out this connection between repentance and baptism. And I want to define a little bit what baptism is and what baptism is not. So I'm going to start with the words of Jesus in Mark 1, 14 and 15, I want to define for us a little bit this word repentance. It's very important that we understand that. And so I want to describe that a little bit, even with some Greek meanings, and then press on into putting these together, repentance and baptism. Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, this is what Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That was his first words. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, this word right here, it in the Greek, there are several different meanings in the word repent in the New Testament. But listen closely what Jesus is saying here. This word repent in this context, I'm not even going to try to say the Greek words. That's not as important, but the meaning is. And so when Jesus said repent, he meant here, he was saying to turn away from existing object of trust. Doesn't that make sense? Repent of all your prior thinking. Repent of all your prior hang-ups. Repent of what you have been dependent upon in the past. And so when Jesus said, excuse me, when he said repent, he said turn away from existing object of trust. Turn away from all of that. And so he begins to define and describe what does this word repentance mean. And so he was saying in essence to them, turn away from trusting yourself. He's not taking away from the Ten Commandments. He's not taking away from religion. But if you're trusting in your religion, or you're trusting in, well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments, or you're trusting in your goodness, he said, repent of all of that. Turn away from existing object of trust. That makes a ton of sense to me. And then he said, believe. Believe in this context also has a deep meaning. Listen to what it says. When Jesus said believe, it means commit oneself wholeheartedly to an object of faith. That's what he's talking about when he says repent, turn away from existing trust, object of trust, believe, commit oneself wholeheartedly to an object of faith. And he says, believe in what? Believe in the gospel. And so in short, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's pretty clear, is it not? That's pretty clear. And not only, excuse me, Christian, would you see if I can find a bottle of water for me, please? Not only did Jesus convey this message, so did Peter, so did Paul. I'm going to turn to Peter in a minute. I'm not going to take the time to turn to all of the scriptures, but they all were saying the same thing. Repent. Turn away from that existing object of trust, whatever it was you used to trust in, and turn and believe. In other words, subscribe, embrace wholeheartedly the gospel. Believe and ascribe to Christ. That's what they all said. If we were to turn to Acts 26:20, we would see that conversation between Paul and King Agrippa. Some of you will remember that conversation. And Paul said to him very, very clearly to Agrippa, this is what I have been preaching, that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. Thank you. They all said the same thing. And so, I want to ask you for a moment. What are you trusting in now that you may need to repent of? Turn away from that existing object of trust. Is there anything? Is your trust in religion? Is your trust in, well, I'm a pretty good person, Jim? Is your trust in, I've done some good things. I want us to think about this morning. What am I trusting in now? Remember what the words of Jesus, repent. He said this to everybody. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so I want us to think for a moment. Are there things in my life that I am trusting now that I need to repent of, that I need to turn away from that object of trust and turn to Christ? Is there anything? In order for us to be in right standing with God, repentance is a must. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? In order for us to be in right standing with God, we must start with repentance. You might say, Jim, what in the world has this got to do with baptism? Stay with me. I will get there in a moment. Acts chapter 2. The setting is Pentecost. The Spirit of God has been poured out. Peter is filled with the Spirit of God. He's preaching. You can read all about that in Acts chapter 2. It's a wonderful, Spirit-filled sermon. And he's proclaiming to them Christ. And he gets to verse 36 in this sermon, if you will, in this proclamation. And he says, Acts 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, he has made him both Lord and Christ. And the Bible records at that point, he's talking to thousands of people. We know that because 3,000 come to faith that day. And the Bible says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do about this? He had proclaimed to them Christ. And Peter said to them in verse 38, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The word that Jesus used in Mark chapter 1 and that Peter uses in Acts chapter 2 is the same word with the same definition. Turn away from existing object of truth and turn to Christ. It's the same word. When Peter tells them to repent, yes, in this sitting, in this particular setting where he's speaking to Jewish men, he's telling them, among other things, repent for murdering the Messiah, because they did that too. But this word is the same. Turn from existing object of truth and turn to the Messiah. Peter had clearly proclaimed to them Christ. And in their turning to Christ, he said to them, there are two factors that are needed. Repentance is where we begin. And when they had repented and turned to Christ, be baptized. Be baptized unto obedience. He was telling them there's two factors here. Repent and turn to Christ and be baptized. Now let me say this, friends. I think I say this every year, but I want to say it again. Please do not mistake this proclamation of Peter about baptism as a means of salvation. The water is not the means of salvation. Are you still with me? The water isn't the means. The repentant faith in Christ is. Baptism is a follow-up. It's an outward expression. I'll use this term again. It's an outward expression of an inward decision. And so I do not want us to be confused about Peter's proclamation here, because he had proclaimed to them Christ. He had proclaimed to them the Messiah. He had told them they need to repent. And in obedience to repenting and turning to Christ, then be baptized. So I don't want to confuse us with that, and I don't want us to mistake that word from Peter, that baptism is the means of salvation. Baptism is not the means of salvation. Faith is our means of salvation, and part of that faith equation is repentance. Are you still tracking with me, friends? To say in my mind, okay, Jim, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to go ahead and get baptized now, and then I'll be in right standing with God. That's not what Peter is saying. Peter's calling us to repent and turn to Christ in an act of obedience to the word of Jesus and Peter, then be baptized. Let me elaborate on this word a little bit, just a little bit further, this word repentance, before we talk a little more about baptism. In the New Testament, there are several definitions, Greek definitions, for the same word. Let me give you a couple of examples. I'm not even going to try to pronounce these Greek words because I'm not good at pronouncing Greek words. But there are several different definitions of the word repentance. Listen closely to this first one. It is very different than what Jesus and Peter said. Let me ask you this. Are you familiar with Strong's Exhaustive Concordance? Anybody? Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is a book about that thick. I don't happen to have one up here. There's one in the library. There's a couple in my office. And it has every word in the Bible. And you can look as to see the, if it's an Old Testament word, the Hebrew word in the Hebrew meaning, or if it's a New Testament word, a Greek word and a Greek meaning. It's about that thick, and it's really, really inclusive. Okay, my point is, in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, you've got the word repentance several times. They have different meanings. One of those repentance meanings is this. It is used to denote remorse without abandoning sin. You still with me? Okay? It's the word repentance, but in some applications, it's used to denote remorse. In other words, I am a bit sorry, without abandoning sin. That's one application. Okay, I've been caught. I'm sorry about that. But I don't walk away from who I used to be. That is one definition of the word. That's not the word Jesus and Peter and Paul used. They use the word, the Greek word is metanoeo, which describes repentance that seeks change. Amen? That's what they're talking about. Repentance that means change. I've told this, I've said this a lot of times. Repentance means turning away from who we used to be. That's what Peter and Jesus and Paul are talking about when they proclaim to us, repent. This Greek word, this Greek definition, repentance that seeks change. Exactly what I said earlier, turning away from an existing object of truth. That's what Peter and Jesus are talking about. The first word that Jesus preached in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark was repent. The first thing that John the Baptist preached as he prepared the way for the Messiah was repent. The first thing that Peter said at Pentecost to these masses of these thousands of people that when he was addressing them, he proclaimed to them Christ as the Messiah, and he said to them, repent. Why? Because we have a sin problem. Are you hearing me this morning? Human race, you and I, we have a sin problem. And until we recognize that sin problem, we don't recognize repentance. The human race has a sin problem. Sin separates us from God. So why is repentance spoken about so often? We have a sin problem that needs to be repented of. All of us. You say, Jim, I'm not that bad. All of us, I assure you. The Bible reminds us the heart is deceitful and wicked. The Bible reminds us for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Why is repentance so necessary? Because we have a sin problem. I was reading in the Vine and the Branches the other day, and there's a quote in there that is applicable right here. Here's the quote. Jesus did not leave heaven's glory and come to earth just to be our example or to bless us with helpful advice. He came to die for sin. Amen? He came to die for sin because we have a sin problem. I said this a couple weeks ago, one of the services. Why would we need a Savior if we weren't doomed by sin? But we are doomed by sin. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need to repent of that sin and turn to the Savior. Why would we need a Savior if we don't recognize we are sin-filled? That's why they proclaim to us from the Word, Jesus and John the Baptist and Peter and Paul, repent. Turn from that existing object of trust. That's why they said that. Now, let me just say this about the two and how they relate. Did our youth group not mention to us a couple things last week that are vitally important? One, they said the harvest fields are ripe. Did they not mention that? They mentioned the harvest fields are ripe, and we need to wake up and be aware of that as a body of believers. The other thing they mentioned two or three times, they mentioned the Great Commission that Jesus proclaimed to us in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, when he said, go and make disciples. Did they not proclaim to us also, to us also? They did. And in that Great Commission of Jesus, he's instructing the disciples of that day, but also of us today, to go and make more disciples. He didn't necessarily say go and make church members. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not what he said. He said go and make disciples. And what he was telling those 12, and our youth group reminded us of this last week, and I can remind us of it again from Matthew 28, 19. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, he said, go and duplicate yourselves. You have come to be my followers. Go and replicate that amongst the others. And when you do that, if you're open to Matthew 28, 19, or you know it by heart, the next thing he said was, and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus gives us that instruction. We have the instruction from Peter. I just gave you one example. There's many more. But we have this instruction from Jesus. We, the church, are to go and make disciples. We are to tell people the good news. We are to invite them, as Peter did, to repent and turn from their existing object of truth and turn to the one that can save them. And when they do that, to be baptized. We're given the same challenge. The church is. And so we baptize out of obedience to Scripture. We baptize because people have come to that point in their life. I am going to follow Jesus. And in an outward display to show the rest of us, they will be baptized. That's why we baptize. It's an outward expression of an inward faith. I don't want to beat this horse too badly, but I want us to be crystal clear, because I've talked to way too many people. The object of faith is the water in the baptism. It's not water that saves you. That song that we sang, let's go down to the river, it's a spiritual washing, yes. Do we come up renewed? Yes. But it's not the water that saves you. The baptism is because you've been saved by the grace of God and your faith in the Son of God. Amen? When we have repented of sin, and when we have turned to Christ as Lord and Savior, in an act of obedience to Scripture, we show others of this repentance and turning to Christ by being baptized. That's what they did in the New Testament in the book of Acts over and over and over. And so we're simply baptizing today as a response to their decision to follow Jesus. Today, later on, after our second service and after our lunch together, we will be going down to the river. We will be baptizing young, middle-aged, and older alike. I say hallelujah. I will ask them, you, some of you that are here this morning, a set of questions. They will answer those questions as to their faith in Christ. I will give opportunity to them for testimonies. If any of them want to share a brief testimony about why they're being baptized, I will give opportunity to do that. But all will be baptized to show you that come, they have put their faith in Christ. That's why they're being baptized. And so I would ask you today to consider for a moment before I'm going to invite our praise team to come forward and lead us in that last song, because I think it's very appropriate. But if you're here today, friends, or you're watching online, I want you to think again about that word repent. Jesus said repent. Peter said repent. Paul said repent. I want us to think for a moment today, have I in fact turned away from my existing object of trust? Or am I still trusting in my religion or my church attendance or my good works, or I'm a better person than XYZ? Have I repented of all of that, and have I turned to the one that can save? And if that has any application for you today, perhaps you're listening online or perhaps you're here with us, if that has any application to you today, I would simply say exactly what Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, turn away from that existing object of trust, believe, embrace the Christ, the one that died for your sin. And if you're watching today or you're here today and you've never gotten quite to that point, I want to encourage you by faith, do it today. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow you may change your mind. Tomorrow may not come. It will not come for some. And so if you're listening today and or you're here today, and you have not really recognized this that Jesus has called us to, repenting of the old, believing in Him wholeheartedly as Savior and Lord, I want to invite you to do that today. And if you do that today, whether you're watching online or whether you're with us here today, I want to invite you to consider coming to the river with us and being baptized. Because that's what they did in the New Testament. When we're down at the river, I will take us to Acts, I think it's 16, and I will show just one of a multitude of examples where they came to Christ and were baptized immediately. And so if that's you today, I want to invite you, while we're singing this song, pray right where you're at, or come forward, pray at the altar, come forward and pray with Casey, Dale, and Carla, or myself. But repent, turn away from the existing object of trust, and turn to the one that saves. If you're not sure you've ever done that, friends, I want to invite you, do it today. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. And if you do that today, I want to invite you, come and be baptized. You say, Jim, I didn't bring any extra clothes. It's okay, you'll dry off. in an act of obedience, of having put your faith and trust in Christ, come to the river and show the rest of the world, the rest that'll be there, so we can celebrate with you. I have believed in Jesus. I have put my faith and trust in him. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to show the rest of you by being baptized. I invite you to that today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to invite our praise team forward. And while we're singing, if you want help with that, you come forward. There's plenty of us up here. We can help you with that. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the simplicity of the gospel. The simplicity of Jesus' words, repent and believe in the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if anyone listening today, online or in-house, or will come the next service, or will join us at the river, I pray that if anyone has not got to that point that Jesus said we must get to, I pray that today is the day of salvation. I pray that, Father, your spirit and their spirit would connect, and they would feel the renewing power, the cleansing power, the healing power of Jesus. They would be washed in the blood of the Lamb, and in obedience to their faith in Christ, maybe even join us at the river after lunch and be baptized. Father, I pray by your Spirit, move in mighty ways amongst us. Move among those listening even now. Move, Spirit of God. Draw us unto the Father through faith in the Son. And help us to be where you want us to be, in obedience, in surrender, in believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. I pray this in all things in the name of Jesus. Amen.